What is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen? It's already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it will pass the drug trade. Because someone can sell a bag of cocaine one time, but they can sell a child 5 to 10 times per day. Witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. From Angel Studios, the force behind His Only Son and The Chosen, comes an extraordinary true story of courage and redemption. Experience the spirit of hope and the power of human resilience, and remember the 2 million children who are trafficked every year. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom. Buying tickets in advance sends an important message. To show your support, purchase tickets for yourself or pay it forward, visit angel.com/freedom. Witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom.
Last year, I announced my student debt relief plan, a plan that was on the verge of providing more than 40 million Americans with real debt relief. This program was all set to begin. The website had been set up. Notice had been sent out to people about the relief they were eligible for. 16 million people. 16 million people had already been approved. The money was literally about to go out the door. And then Republican elected officials and
Republicans
stepped in. They said, no. Literally snatching from the hands of millions of Americans thousands of dollars in student debt relief.
Oh my gosh, I love this soundbite so much. Happy Wednesday. It's technically kind of a Monday, but not. It's a 3-day work week. Welcome to the program, your lovable hostess, kind of a curmudgeon, Dana Lash here with you, as always. So good to be with you. Okay, so Joe Biden is saying right now that the student loan debacle, the bait and switch. Guys, they had the website. You heard it. They had the website. Check. The name. Check.
16 million people?
Yeah. I mean, he already told everybody about it. Check, check, check. And it was the Republicans that came in and stole it. Snatched it. Snatched.
This guy.
I'm telling you. So it wasn't because it was entirely unlawful for him, but they knew that it was unlawful. That's the thing. Like, they knew it was, they knew that it was illegal. They knew that this was going to be the end result. And they still went out and told everyone, yeah, we're going to pay off your student loans. You know, I gotta win the White House. And we got to win some seats in Congress, you know, but for that to happen, you know, for us to pay off all of your debts, you know, that you decided to willfully, voluntarily incur, you know, you got to vote for me. I mean, it was a trade off. And all these poor suckers, all these dumb morons out there were like, oh, golly, I have my debt paid for. And they voted for him. And Democrats knew the whole time. They knew the whole time that this was never going to happen. They just thought the period of them saying that it's going to happen, going, you know, getting stuck in this vortex, this legal purgatory, before SCOTUS was going to slap it down, that was going to be enough to satiate everyone. They knew that this was going to be the end result the entire time. That's why they specifically timed it to all kick off before the election the way that they did, before midterms, just like they did. That's why they did it, so that they could get some votes. They could try to save some numbers in Congress. They could make these promises, but they knew the end result was going to be this. And all these blockheads out there bought it hook, line, and sinker. They all bought it. Well, golly, Joe Biden said he's going to pay for all my colleges. He's going to be paying for my colleges. And it never didn't happen. We knew it was going to come. We told the people.
We told them.
But, you know, Joe Biden was like, wait, we got the website. Do you notice that they, I love how the left thinks, well, it's official because there's a website. I'm a billionaire. It's official because there's a website. But there's a website, though. We already got all of these items. We got these things. We got the website. Remember what they did with the healthcare website, which is still, I shouldn't laugh at it. I should cry because it was our tax dollars, but the Obamacare website, one of the dumbest things. I mean, it was a glorified GeoCities thing. You go in and it had like the wavy letters, all of that. It was horrible. I mean, it didn't, but maybe it did. We got the website, though. They knew that this was going to be the end result, but still, they went and charged ahead anyway, knowing that the legal purgatory was going to be enough to scooch them by the elections, midterms, and get them to this point. Now you got all these people that voted for Biden, and they didn't get their debt paid off. Oh, it was almost like half, you know, millions and millions of people, half a country told you. Oh, but you said we are being mean and ignorant because they're pointing this out. You're so ignorant. Why are you so racist? Why are you so bad? My gosh. You guys missed me, didn't you? So some things happened apparently while I was out, including TweetDeck preview. I hate it to death. I hate it so bad. I'm going to complain about it a little bit. So just, you know, not like right now, but, you know, you're just going to have to like deal with it because it's horrible. And there's been some things that I guess they're doing that Elon Musk is doing. And it's just, you have to sit here and change everything and it's killing my soul and I want to cry. But anyway, that's, you know, first I'm going to cry in first world problems. Some things happened, though, while I was at SCOTUS was quite busy. We were just talking about the student loan thing, the affirmative action, the discriminatory behavior of Ivy League institutions that was slapped down, and the weeping and gnashing of teeth. I have to tell you, it was glorious to read it while having an Aperol spritz in the Amalfi Coast. And I was just reading through the salty tears of all of the people on the left who were just so mad that they couldn't be racist anymore. I can't believe we can't be discriminatory when it comes to the admissions process at our overpriced Ivy League institutions. Oh my gosh. That was amazing to read, Kane. It was so fun. So that happened. The bake the cake thing. We're going to get into some of the free speech. That also happened. The French riots continue. They are not playing over there. I mean, it's a day that ends in Y, so the French are rioting. But Macron apparently wants social media to censor some of the coverage because that's going to work really well. You know what? When the government talks about hiding something, that totally makes people not want to look for it. I don't know about you, but that's always worked throughout history. The submarine. So when we were flying over to Italy, and if you've been in a coma or living under a rock or something like that, I've been off air. Went to Italy for a couple of weeks and ate through all the country and still literally lost 10 pounds because they walk everywhere. We'll talk about it. But we kind of went a little bit north of the area where, you know, the sub went, you know, the whole thing with Titanic, all this stuff. It's a horrible story. And apparently, you know, everyone knew about it for 4 days. The government knew about it for 4 days and sort of just let everyone along, strung everyone along. But knowing what we all know now about the dude who was the financier behind all of it, the guy who spearheaded it, who apparently didn't want, you know, some old, grizzled, experienced people working together to put his makeshift propane tank to go down to Bikini Bottom, for the lack of a better way to assess it. I don't know how anyone could read that and think, yeah, sure, I'm going to get into a tightly enclosed space with this guy. And this is like an extreme what about Bob moment. I mean, the vessel's not deep sea worthy at all, but, you know, I mean, the glass that's in it can't even withstand the depths to which it's going. But sure, yeah, I'll get in it. Can't even stretch my legs out, all of us five at a time. I mean, it takes one person at a time. I mean, sure. But yeah, we'll do that. It looks like a Super Mario Brothers character. I don't know. I mean, it does. I mean, it's horrible, but why would you? I don't even like getting into the elevator with certain people. I can't imagine getting onto this damn thing and plummeting to the depths that you were going to look at a shipwreck. Can we stop with the diving down to the bottom of the sea to look at the ship? We all know what it looks like. It's a sunken ship. It hasn't changed. There's not going to be anyone waiting at the bow waving for you to come and get them. It's a sunken ship. Why? Now, if going down there cured cancer, I'd be like, okay, go down to the top. If it cured cancer or solved all our problems, yay. I'm totally all for the idea of pushing forward and pushing the envelope and progressing and et cetera, et cetera. But why always there? Didn't James Cameron do this like 11,000 times and better? I think so. Just, it's sad, though. It's incredibly sad. Now, also, some of the things that have happened. We had the Hunter plea deal. Oh, we're going to have some discussions about Hunter Biden. It means a lot to have that last name. apparently, if you're a criminal. I mean, you can smoke crack and drive 172 miles per hour while recording it in Las Vegas. You can do all kinds of stuff. I mean, you can illegally purchase a firearm because you are a strung out crackhead and nothing happens to you. Absolutely. But if you're a firearms retailer, if you're an FFL and you have one grammatical mistake on your forms, the entirety of the ATF is going to descend upon you like vultures on a carcass. And they're going to make your lives a living hell. I mean, if you are Hunter Biden, you get to cop to sweet plea deals. You know, you're bringing money in from the CCP, but oh my gosh, you sell your lawnmower on Facebook Marketplace and you accept a payment that's over $600 and the IRS is going to descend upon you like vultures to a carcass. And that's just the way it is. Because some people are special-er than others. I don't know if you're aware, but they are special-er than others, and Hunter Biden is apparently one of them. So he gets this super sweet plea deal. Must be nice. He gets to skirt the law. He's always also with Joe. Is he living at the White House now? Why do we need all the Secret Service agents at the compound in Malibu if he's living at the White House? Was that his cocaine? Oh, we're going to talk about that. Hold up. We're getting there. We're going to get there. Now, when I was in Italy, as I said, because I traveled, went to Italy for a couple of weeks and ate everything and it was amazing. And I went to Rome. I went to Florence. Love Florence. We were in Amalfi Coast, went to Capri, ate literally all the lemons. Everything that they said was true. If you guys didn't know, I'm a huge lemon buff. Like I bake and love limoncello and do all, I love it. You literally can eat the peel and all of it, the whole thing. I'm not even joking with because their lemons are just so much better. I don't know what. Brought home like all their limoncello. It's amazing. And went to Florence. I loved Florence. Went to Rome. Meh. When I was in Rome, we drove past the U.S. Embassy every day. The U.S. Embassy, which is in this old palazzo from some like noble lady, has the giant rainbow flag, but also the trans and the two spirit stuff. I don't even know what the hell all the colors mean anymore. I really don't. They had it hanging as though it was a college frat instead of the U.S. Embassy. They had it hanging, college frat style, in the very front, right under our American flag. And if you can see in the simulcast, if you're listening across the country, if you're streaming the radio program, or if you're watching the simulcast on Channel 347 DirecTV or YouTube or Facebook, you can barely see. I managed to take the pictures we were going past. The American flag, way smaller, above it, and then the giant, you can't even say rainbow flag anymore because it's not. It's the trans whatever flag. That's our U.S. embassy. Now, interestingly enough, none of the other embassies had this anything like this hanging on their structures. Not even the presidential building, Italy's presidential building, where the leaders of the entire country carry out their duties and they go to work, et cetera, et cetera. There wasn't anything like that there either, which I also have pictures of. It was just the U.S. embassy. No one else had that. I did not see that flag literally anywhere else in Rome except the U.S. Embassy. Now, what is the purpose of that other than to advertise that you believe in cosplay? What is the purpose of it? It was ridiculous, completely ridiculous. It was bigger than our flag. And while all of this was happening, and that's the Palazzo Piombino Margherita, which is now the U.S. Embassy in Rome. You know, you're not going to see anything like this. They won't do this in Saudi Arabia. We won't have this on our embassy there or in any Middle Eastern country. They do it here. But it was interesting because there was, like I said, nothing like that anywhere else. And this all coincides with some of the woke military stuff, which we're going to talk about. We have a million things to hit. We have SCOTUS. We've got crack. All of the things. I mean, we don't physically have it. Wait, our last name is Biden. Don't get us.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Is Biden's economic plan truly working? Wages are going backwards as new regulations are costing $10,000 per American. With inflation at a higher rate, your spending power goes down. Make sure you know what numbers to pay attention to. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So in Wimbledon, they apparently... They interrupted Wimbledon, and these are the Just Stop Oil protesters. It was the play was first suspended on court 18 of the All England Lawn Tennis Club, and demonstrators ran onto the grass. They threw orange confetti, glitter, and jigsaw pieces, which makes no sense. During this, just makes me want to purchase more oil. When I see people do this and be annoying, you're not endearing people to your cause. So this is an insane story that happened towards the end of our trip. You remember Scott Peterson, right? He was the officer. He was the school deputy at Parkland. He spoke of his relief after being found not guilty of neglect. I mean, Castle Rock v. Gonzalez is a true case, guys. We've talked about this before. The former Broward County deputy was charged with failing to confront the Parkland killer during the attack on February 14th, 2018. And he was exonerated. He was not charged. It's crazy. I know. The world wants more meat. And apparently the demand is growing because people don't want to eat Bill Gates' bugs. They said that Food and Agriculture Organization of the United States shows in a new survey that global meat production has increased fivefold since the 60s because people want meat. They want the proteins. Makes all the sense in the world. When he was Attorney General of Missouri, now Senator Eric Schmidt led the fight in Missouri v. Biden. They've been granted a preliminary injunction prohibiting all these agencies from working with big tech to censor people on social media. We're going to talk more about that coming up. Stick with us. A lot more show on the way. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code DANA. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Repeat, I didn't copy your results on the Gemini.
Gemini's results are a new match found with a red bar, new match found in the library. We'll go ahead and bag. Come on up. Correct the record has that we have a result on the Gemini. We have a yellow bar stating cocaine, hydrochloride, path number 53.
I've literally been waiting for 48 hours to play this song. I can't even. Little Eric Clapton cocaine there. Over the hazmat team audio, where they were calling in the cocaine that was found. Apparently, they said it was in the White House library. Welcome back to the program. You're lovable, rested, and well-fed curmudgeon Dana Lash here with you. Listen coast to coast. You can stream the show, join the YouTube discussion as well. So this, it already sounds like it's a cover-up, what's happening here. So what happened is, apparently, somebody had themselves some booger sugar up in the White House. That is what happened. You know it's true. You know, some of that fairy dust, they had that up in the White House. Some cocaine was found. And it happened to be found right after Hunter Biden was at the property.
Coincidence.
Just a coincidence, I am sure. So, Secret Service, they found this. They were doing their routine, like, walkabout, and they found the cocaine. It tested positive for the cocaine. They said it was found in the library, which is open to the public, but really, is it? Biden was not there. He and his son were at Camp David. They went away for a long weekend to Camp David. And so now, Secret Service, they launched an investigation, like OJ, to find the real killer, to determine how the cocaine got there and who was responsible. Because it's apparently two floors below the first family's living quarters. And I love how they were leaking out. Well, you know, it could be accessible to the public. You know, yeah, I'm really, have you ever been to the White House? The screening process to get in there. Are you kidding me? No one is going to be, they have drug sniffing dogs. No one's going to be walking up with some cocaine and just going to, I'm going to leave it in the White House. Who would do that? Do you realize how dumb that is? Stop floating this media. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. Just like Fetch didn't happen. And Mean Girls, this isn't going to happen either. So whose cocaine is it? I mean, we all have. Everyone wants you to think that it was something else. They had to block off roadways, everything when they were there. And some people were saying, oh, well, you know, it could be a local anesthetic is used in nose. No, it's not. It's not used in nose sprays. It's legit booger sugar. Stop. I mean, they kept trying to say cocaine hydrochloride. They kept trying to use it. No, stop. It's not the nasal liquid stuff. But that's what they actually tried to say it. And I'm looking at all of these different media articles. Oh my gosh, there's a lot of them. The Tribune Times, a bunch of reporters. It was almost like talking points went out, which maybe they did. And they all ran with us. But we all know what it was. I mean, it's and the weird thing is where it was found. Biden didn't answer any questions about it. There are several threads ongoing on social media talking about how the White House was trying to discredit reports at first that it was cocaine. Apparently, Secret Service didn't collect fingerprints. That was one of the things that was going around that they apparently didn't collect. Because, we all know it's Hunter's. It wouldn't have been the first time that Secret Service ran cover up for him. Don't ever forget about how when it takes me a minute to go through the relationship here. The former sister-in-law, ex-lover, right?
That's correct.
She stole his illegally purchased gun and threw it in a trash can literally across the street from an elementary school. And the Secret Service apparently intervened and were helping to hide stuff up. Like they helped hide things about Ashley Biden's diary and Hunter Biden's laptop. Anyway, you have the White House that's under 24/7 video surveillance. They know how it got here and they know who did it. And the reason you're not hearing about some staffer, they're not trotting out some staffer to take the blame is because it's Hunter. He's legit an addict. Why is this a shocker? This is a guy who filmed himself driving 172 miles per hour while doing cocaine in Las Vegas. And then Democrats kept trying to say, well, you know, the media, they're not reporting that cocaine was found in the White House library. They were saying it's cocaine hydrochloride, like a nasal spray. That's not what it was. So they're all immediately trying to run defense for this Nepo baby, this almost 60-year-old Nepo baby. This is wild. I mean, how many times has Secret Service had to intervene and deal with this? Deal with the first son. Golly. I mean, you used to have 6,000 people that visited the White House per week. And then when you had the lockdown, they restricted the hours and they do public tours and stuff like that. But you can't bring in, you can't even bring in a bag to the White House. I don't know if you knew this. You can't even bring your bag. If you have like a belt bag or like a crossbody, you can't bring that to the White House. Why in the hell do you think that, how do you think somebody's going to sneak in a bag of cocaine? Jeez. Maybe it was dropped by a bat. I don't know. But it's just a mystery. They just, they have no idea. I mean, there are cameras everywhere, 24/7 security, drug and bomb sniffing dogs everywhere. They just don't know how the cocaine got there. There are also some conflicting narratives about this. Simon Ataba, who has been on the program before, he was saying that they had Secret Service, and he's a reporter. He's in the White House every day. He says that they were stating, some of the Secret Service sources, that the cocaine was discovered in a work area. And that dispatch recording, though, indicated that it was in the library. Now, he adds that the White House West Wing, and he put this on social media, refers to one of the two main wings of the White House, the official residence and workplace of the president, and the West Wing houses the offices, working spaces of the president's staff, etc. That's also where the Oval Office is. And that's where he conducts his, you know, where he has his meetings. All the official duties go down in that part of the building. And the primary location for his executive office, key departments, all that stuff, like chief of staff, you know, things like that. The library, it grants access to White House staff, including the president, immediate staff. It's a working library, and they have some scholars that can be granted and historians that can be granted access to it. But that's handled on a case-by-case basis. And there's records of everything, in addition to, you know, the video everywhere. So this is, it's Hunter Biden's. I can't imagine it not being anybody else's. Do you agree? There's no one.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
There's just no, there's but no
imagine
way.
If they found, say, an explosive or like ricin, we would know who that person is immediately.
But this probably means. Now, Secret Service was saying that it was in the West Wing and not the library, but that's not what the hazmat audio said. Right. So there's some conflicting narratives. It was the DC Fire Department and hazmat. They were saying, I mean, their radio dispatches were saying that it was on the library, two floors below the private residence. Now, again, the caveat, and this is what Democrats have really been pushing, is that, well, that's also open to the public. Like, the public can walk by it during a tour. Remember, it's a case-by-case basis granted access to it because it's a working library. And anyone who's ever been to the White House knows you can't carry stuff like that in there. Unless you're there for business, unless you're a reporter and you have all your credentials and under, you can't not just be a visitor and go in and bring bags and stuff. This is not ever how it's ever worked. So, I mean, how long are they going to... To what end will they go to run defense for him? Did you see the article that came out over the weekend? I think it was like Sunday evening, where it was reported that Joe Biden angrily rebuffed suggestions from staff about Hunter Biden. And he was saying, don't question it, etc. And the thing that was floated out was that he was worried that his son may relapse. And so that's why he's keeping him close. To me, that screams national security concern.
Yeah.
That's not a good excuse. So to me, all of this stuff leads up to he is a major liability, not just for the White House, but for Democrats. Hunter Biden's a major liability. They can't let him go anywhere. I think that's why he's always with Joe. Because they were at Camp David. He was there. He was watching the 4th of July fireworks. He was out on the Truman balcony at the White House watching the 4th of July fireworks, right? But they had their little getaway to Camp David. And it was the South Portico Hunter, his sister, other members of the first family. And they got to watch, stand there on the balcony. I mean, it's just, it's disgraceful. But even more so, it's a national security concern. If Joe Biden is actually worried that his crackhead son, who's in his mid-50s, mid to late 50s, if they're worried that this guy, who has a lifelong history of recklessness, and I mean to say nothing again, we just talked about the video that they put up, or that was put out there, him driving, recording the speedometer, 172 miles per hour, while he's snorting coke, doing drugs, drinking, recording himself in Las Vegas. He is a national security concern. That's an area of compromise right there. Meaning that Biden could be compromised, which he already is, but I don't know how he could be compromised more. So it's a mess. What a mess. And that's the defense that they want to run with. That's what Dems want to run with as their defense. So they've run defense for him before. Yeah, this piece, it was at New York Post. Reuters had a write-up, Daily Mail. Yeah, Biden slapped down any advice from aides on his son's scandals. And he says, and the sources say that he's keeping him, Hunter, close because he's worried about the recovering crack addict relapsing. If he's worried about the relapse, he doesn't need to be there. That's not, the White House is not Betty Ford, okay? It's the White House. Stuff needs to get done. Now, speaking of some of that, because there's a lot more to hit, there's been a lot of stuff that's been happening. We were talking a little bit earlier, and we're going to get into some of the other Biden stuff, like the child support settlement, all that. The woke military. But the big, big SCOTUS moves, because it's SCOTUS season, affirmative action. Biden was infuriated over that. The left was infuriated over that. I have to say, Clarence Thomas's words, his opinion, was amazing. I don't know if you read it. He torched Ketanji Brown Jackson, who I thought wrote one of the most embarrassing screeds that I have ever read. And that was without any limoncello, Italian wine, or Aperol spritzes came. I think I was in Firenze at that point. I was in Florence, and I was looking at this like, oh my gosh, who, it's something that you expect to read scribbled in the paint on the back of a metal bathroom stall, but not on Supreme Court letterhead. We're going to discuss that as well. We have a lot still. Gosh, so much to catch up on. So much to hit. It's been a busy weekend. This Independence Day weekend. And we have a lot more show to go. The KS7 from Kel-Tec might be short and slim on the outside, but it's long under the hood with its 18.5-inch barrel packed into its bullpup design. It's ready for home defense, backcountry hiking, or anywhere you need a compact 12-gauge shotgun. The KS7 is lightweight with a magazine capacity of 6+1 or 7+1, depending on shell size, easy to handle with rear loading and downward ejection, and standard carry handle that doubles as a sighting solution. Every KS7 produced at Kel-Tec is made in the USA by a team who takes pride in their work and believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms. Every KS7 comes with a lifetime warranty with proof of purchase as original owner. Defend what matters most to you with the KS7 shotgun available through Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. And sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
In fact, the Supreme Puppet Master even threatened the other side of the aisle with primaries if they didn't bend the knee. And when he says bend the knee, extreme MAGA Republicans say, how high?
Like, you're hiking up your leg? Like, if I'm, you know, if you're, like, how does that, like, to step up a stair? I don't understand. In what way?
High knees. High
like
knees.
A dog?
High knees.
When they take a leak on a tree? Like, oh my gosh. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash. That was Hakeem Jeffries. You know, Hank Johnson's supposed to be the one who says stupid stuff, not Hakeem Jeffries. Stupider stuff. Not Hakeem. Hakeem Jeffries is the leader of the Dems in the House. How do you mess that up? When they say bend a knee, Republicans say how high. What? Doesn't even make any sense. Stop. That makes no sense at all. Ugh. So, where's the transpo secretary? You know, I ask this. I don't know if you've seen experienced some of the headlines related to the Independence Day airline Fuhrer. People are raging at Secretary Mayor Pete Buttigieg over the holiday travel flight mayor 4,000 flights have been delayed or canceled. A lot of people are on Independence Day were left across the nation. They said that just on the 4th of July, they had more than 2,200 flight delays, 500 cancellations. That was just by noon on Sunday, and it continued going into the 4th. And they said that they had another 4,000, over 4,000 flights that had been delayed, stranded passengers, people saying that they had to wait several days before they can even get an opened flight to rebook or to even get their baggage. Some never made it to their final destinations, especially if they were on vacation. I mean, just a nightmare, absolute nightmare. And where was he at? Where's Secretary Mayor Newmom Pooh Buttigieg? I mean, he had like one little thing and that was kind of about it. Like, but really, where was he? He's been getting a lot of, there have been a lot of people on the left mad at him over some of this, over some of this stuff lately. I mean, he was sitting here, he was running his mouth on CNN about one of the cases we're going to talk about, the First Amendment case with SCOTUS, the whole bake the cake thing. The wedding business, the website creator, he was talking about that. He said that she only went into the wedding business to provoke cases like that. Shouldn't he be talking about transportation? I mean, I get that he's a diversity hire, but he's the transportation secretary, not the big gay secretary. So I just think that maybe he should talk about transportation, considering the flight mare. Stick with us. We have a whole other 2 hours on the way. Back in moments.
Hi, I'm Major Rachel Jones. And what pride means to me is celebrating that diversity is our strength as a nation and as an army. Pride means something very special to me as a LGBTQ individual, and it's a chance to show everyone what we have to offer in terms of the diverse skill sets that we bring and the diverse ways of thinking we bring into the team to make everything work better.
You know, what I think is probably the strength of our fighting forces is the ability to kick ass, not how you have to sex. Just a thought. Welcome to the second hour of the program. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon, back well rested, well fed from Italy. And we've few things have happened. I don't know if you've seen a couple things have happened while we were gone, and a lot of stuff over the past couple of days, just over the Independence Day observance. So this individual, while you have the saber rattling from China and the coup, not a coup, that happened with Russia and the Wagner Group. Remember, we talked about that like weeks ago. That immediately, I thought that was suspicious. But now this is how you have members of our, like this wasn't just a member of the military doing this on their own. It was promoted by the Department of Defense. I have like a whole bunch of, what is it? The Army. Who else? Like our actual verified military branches. Department of Defense tweeted it and said, U.S. Army Major Rachel Jones found solace after coming out as a transgender female. And they said his, but they used her. Journey, battling depression and suicidal thoughts, embracing authenticity. Inspired. If you're suicidal because you don't know what bits and pieces you got, I don't want you in a position of that. I don't want you in the military. I mean, for crying out loud, the military has discriminated against people for having flat feet. But, gosh, I don't know if it's a penis or a vagina. I'm so confused. Feel like it should be this one instead of that one. I mean, that's, seriously? The purpose is to be a fighting force, not a social experiment. Embracing authenticity. What the hell does that word salad even mean? Let's just put words together. We're going to hug air. I don't know. Like, let's just put random words together. Embracing authenticity. That's the opposite of embracing authenticity. That's celebrating inauthenticity, because you're saying that this dude is a chick and that he was suicidal and couldn't deal with everyday life until you started affirming his own fantasy perception of himself. Boy, let's go ahead and give, I mean, for you have people here in the United States that don't believe that regular everyday people should be able to bear arms. But hey, if this person does this, let's go ahead and give him full auto and send him over to a village in Afghanistan. Let's go ahead. Where they would probably kill him. No, I've got a million questions. But the purpose is to be a fighting force, not a social experiment. And we wonder why we're having, I mean, we don't wonder, but they wonder why we're having all of these issues with recruitment. Now, it was the Department of Defense. This video was posted on the official Instagram page, verified, of the U.S. Army Sustainment Command. They posted that video. Sustainment Command. What? What does that even mean? You have one job. What's your job? War? What is your... what? War. Like, literally kicking ass. That's my job. War. Not... oh my gosh. This doesn't look like it's commanding any sustainment. This goes hand in hand with the story from the Wall Street Journal that I found. And the piece says the military recruiting crisis, even veterans don't want their families to join. The subheading: Pentagon scrambles to retain the main pipeline for new service members as disillusioned families steer young people away. And that's the truth of it. They absolutely are. And then you see stories like this. This soldier, he's a hero, Colonel Dr. Kelvin Wright. He had to walk away, he was forced to, after serving in the military for 14 years. He saved countless lives in Afghanistan. He trained medics. He's a reservist army medic. He recalled his daily Chinook helicopter flights across enemy-held Helmand territory, risking his life to save critically injured soldiers and civilians. 14-year military career, and he's been canceled. His crime was to share without comment a Facebook post that he considered just something that was described as common sense. But the junior officers, well, they got sand in their you-know-whats, and they had angry backlashes. That's what it is. The message featured a quote from a woman's rights campaigner, it's Helen Joyce, and it read, quote, "If women cannot stand in a public place and say men cannot be women, then we do not have women's rights at all." And that is true. But the junior officers had their feels hurt. And despite his years of service, he was dragged into disciplinary proceedings after a single solitary complaint snowballed into a rage mob tantrum. A 7-page letter signed by several Alphabet activists and sent to top brass objected to him remaining in the Army because of his, quote, anti-trans views. He was never allowed to see the letter. He wasn't even told the extent of the allegations against him. He described it as a, quote, terrible slur on his honor, which it is. And he was canceled right out of existence. And the quote is right. If women cannot stand in a public place and say men cannot be women, we do not have women's rights. It's a sham. And it's free speech right as well. So this guy can be canceled by Alphabet activists for saying the obvious. And we wonder why we have a problem with recruitment. There is no way in hell that I would allow any of my offspring to ever serve in a military. If you can't tell a penis from a vagina, you do not know how to prosecute a war. Plain and simple. If you don't understand basic science, you're not going to understand Sun Tzu. You're not going to understand strategy or tactics or objectives. It's not a social experiment. But if you're trying to destabilize the United States and make us weak in front of any kind of geopolitical foes, that's exactly the thing that you would try to do. It's exactly it. Now, this, I can't even discuss this article. It's so gross. The CDC is being accused of blurring politics and science over advice wherein they suggest that men who identify as women can breastfeed. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. They were advocating this. It was called Health Equity Considerations, and they also used the phrase chest feed. And then they showed, like, these men who were trying to nurse children. Is the purpose for your satisfaction or for a child's nourishment? That's the question to ask. I mean, this is wild. I can't even believe we're having this conversation. This is freak stuff. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. It is. Stop it. This is when it goes way too far. It goes too far at all. They had CDC, they were suggesting, like, for instance, they said that you can use, like, some of these off-label drugs to try to produce something. Do they even know if those drugs can be passed to the kid? Oh, my gosh. It's so insane. They actually have transgender patients who've had surgery, breast or chest feed their infants. Oh, my gosh. So I don't know. What's the purpose of this? Is this for you or for the kid? Because it sounds like these are adults who are checking boxes for themselves, that it has nothing to do with the kids. I mean, what are you actually feeding the kids? This is so, no. Yeah, I don't want to know about the nutrition, Kane. There's no nutritional value here. Oh, my gosh. They said that it, oh, my gosh. So they said that the FDA warned against using one off-label drug called, I can't even say it, domperidone. They said that it's an investigational drug.
Oh, those are the best ones, right?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds super yummy. Mm. Oh, my gosh. Stop it. Happening now. You know, if you disagree with any of this, the guy who was in The Sopranos doesn't want you watching his show. Who? I don't know, some dude.
Okay.
Michael Imperioli. Variety says that he forbids bigots and homophobes, that's his words, from watching his work, and he says that the Supreme Court decision, the recent one, allows him to discriminate. Does anyone want to tell this mental abortion how television works and who purchases what and who owns what? Because the network that made it owns it, so he doesn't get to. It's the network. I don't even know who he is anyway, so I don't care. What are we going to do? Said nobody. Oh my gosh! And this was on that Supreme Court decision. This is one of the cases that we were mentioning. The website designer. Do you remember? We talked about this story before because I've always highlighted whether it's Baronel Stutzman, Arlene's Flowers. It was a flower shop that she ran. Was it in Washington or Oregon with her mother? And she created flowers for weddings, etc. There's been bed and breakfast owners. There's been a number of bakers. There's been a handful of bakers, including, I think, probably the most high profile one is Jack Phillips. But there's also this case. And again, Colorado. Lori Smith, she's a website designer, and people were going after her because she did not want to create wedding websites for same-sex couples. And apparently, like Jack Phillips, she is a devout Christian. Now, remember, I mean, I've had Jack Phillips on air with me, and I point blank asked him, would you create a Halloween cake for me? And he said, no, he doesn't even believe in observing that. It has nothing. It has to do with his views as a person of faith. I'm a person of faith. I just, you know, maybe I don't agree with him on the Halloween cake stuff, but I asked him as a way to showcase. I mean, he has his views, and that's what I'm not going to sit here and sue him because he didn't do what I want. You're not being denied anything. You're not owed a cake. And I get it that they were two fat chicks who sued Jack Phillips the first time around. Get mad at me. I'll print out the hate mail and I will run over it with my mini Segway while drinking limoncello and flipping you the bird. Do it. But it's like these people that do this. This is about subjugation. It's not, nobody's got a right to anything. You don't got a right to cake. You don't got a right to a website. You don't have a right to anything. You don't have a right to this stuff. You don't have a right to someone else's labor. I get it that you're a Democrat and your party's based in slavery, but hi, it's 2023. You don't have a right to someone else's labor.
And now all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I have too many headlines. We're going to try to roll through it. Okay, so the Philadelphia mass casualty incident, the mass shooting which left five fatalities. Apparently, the killer is a BLM activist who is also apparently identified as transgender. That's according to New York Post, Associated Press, Philadelphia Inquirer. Yeah, that's some of the... Also, apparently China is... they, I guess Barbie wanted, the movie Barbie wanted to make sure that they had openings in China. In the movie, there's a controversial map that was actually favored by Beijing, and it shows China's claim to disputed waters in the South China Sea. Now, remember they tried doing something like this to the Taiwanese flag on Maverick's jacket, and finally Top Gun, the sequels, basically told them to pound sand, and they didn't get a China opening. Yeah, well, you know, I wish that the Barbie movie would have done the same thing, but mm-mm. Also, let's see, guns save lives. I had tweeted this out a little, it was like a day or so ago. In Las Vegas, Turnberry Towers, there was actually someone, a good guy with a gun, who stopped a bad guy with a rifle and was able to save the day and then save all of the innocent people inside. Network in Vegas is the, it was at the Westgate Hotel Casino in Las Vegas, and it was Network in Vegas. That's the original story there. But Las Vegas police confirmed it, and they said it was a good guy with a gun who saved the day, because guns do save lives. Also, a judge has blocked U.S. officials from tech contacts in First Amendment cases. We're going to talk more about this here coming up as well. If you care, Bill de Blasio and his crazy wife are separating. No one cares. Also, U.S. Army soldiers are planning to bring a stray dog called Meatball and her 8 puppies back with them from the Middle East. Those puppies would not be alive if it wasn't for the intervention of our Army soldiers. And please make this happen, DOD. If you do one thing in your life, you can put out the videos. If you're a trans dude, then help these guys bring this dog and the pups back, please. We have a lot more on the way, including culture, wokery, domestic issues, SCOTUS, all kinds of stuff. Maybe some more cocaine. Who knows? Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Look, I don't know if Mr. Hunter Biden committed a crime. I sure don't know if President Biden committed a crime. We're trying to get the facts. But I do know this, and I think the American people can see it. The Washington managerial elite, the establishment, if you will, is working harder than an ugly stripper to cover up whatever happened. And that's all that Congress is asking for. Is the facts.
So there's working hard, and then there's working harder than an ugly stripper. That's Senator Kennedy out of Louisiana. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here. I'm already appropriating that 6 ways to Sunday. Like, have you ever heard the commercials? Like, does your medicine work hard for you? Does it work as hard as an ugly stripper? I mean, or like, you know, what did they talk about with the Postal Service? What can Brown do for you? Hard work, but is it as hard working as an ugly stripper? Because that is a true measure. It really is. I mean, there's working hard, and then there's that. That's really working hard. Oh, yeah. He's 1,000% correct on that one. I retweeted it because I saw it. Steve found it, and I retweeted it because, of course. And it is salve to the soul. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So he's correct in that. And this isn't the first time either that we have, I mean, they really are covering for him. Now, we've been talking about the Hunter Biden cocaine case. Mm-hmm. We got to do this every single time because it's complete. Wait, got to wait for the guitar. This guy waited his whole life for this. Gonna hit this one string several times, but it's amazing. So the Hunter Biden cocaine case, I mean, I don't know what else can he not ever get in trouble for anything? Apparently not. Did you hear this though? Hold up. Let me pull the story. Let me scroll up because I have a million things. So the student, the child support thing. Golly, did you guys hear about this? The child support document. So he has been fighting with London Roberts, who was the woman that he was with and had the daughter. Is she like 3 or 4 now? Had the daughter with little Navy Joan. He's been fighting to keep that child from even having his last name. And so the New York Times said that the White House wouldn't acknowledge his 4-year-old daughter, and apparently they still don't. But last week, Hunter finally settled the dispute. He's even agreed to meet his child, finally. And he apparently, as part of the agreement, he is apparently going to give her a painting a month. Are they really that valuable? I mean, I know they use them for money laundering, basically, but isn't that, like, she gets to pick? They said the financial details of the settlement remain under seal, but court filings indicate that he is also going to let his daughter pick out one of his paintings each month as a gift. A source told Daily Mail, quote, "The idea that Navy Jim will pick the art herself and can hang it on her bedroom wall and feel like she has something special from her dad, it will mean the world to her." I think it sounds dumb as hell, but, you know.
So she gets 12 spit picks a year? That's what she gets?
12 spit picks a year.
That's all she gets.
I mean, I don't know what the other stuff is, but apparently that's one of the things that...
In the world.
I'm sorry I was such a crap dad and I kicked your mom off health insurance when she was pregnant and I hid it and then I like shamed you publicly by refusing to acknowledge you and then they had to drag me to court in Arkansas to take a paternity test. So my own dad, your own grandfather, won't even put a stocking up for you on Christmas, but hey, whatevs. Here's a spit pick. Really? Is that going to do it? Oh my gosh, all my daddy issues are solved. Thanks, spit picks. Working harder than an ugly stripper, you know. So I've never seen anyone fold, close ranks and protect. He's like, how old is he? He's in his mid-50s. Hold up. He's in his mid-50s. I mean, he's almost entitled to the early bird special at Denny's. And they act like he's a 12-year-old that has to be protected at all costs. They act like he's more vulnerable and precious than the 4-year-old that he won't acknowledge. That's just so messed up to me. This is the party of women and kids? Eat my shorts. No, it's not. Not at all. Good grief. Okay, so with all of that, how quickly do you think this cocaine story is going to go away? If you had, you know, bet. I think they're going to try to bury it before week's end. You're never going to hear it. You're never going to hear about it again. But you know whose it is. I mean, we all know. Come on. Like right after he's there. And apparently because they're terrified of him relapsing. Good grief. He's apparently doing more on that than he's doing, oh, I don't know, the border or anything else, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, good heavens. All right. So some of the... There's so much here. We have so much to touch on today since we've been gone. We've gotten into the woke military. We've been talking about some of the SCOTUS stuff. This is the other thing I wanted to make sure that we hit. The SCOTUS stuff and some of this other wokery, especially as it pertains to the bake the cake, the affirmative action, all of this other stuff. Because it's... Good heavens. So, this... First, pulling this up. So the bake the cake issue, this was the request, this was the case that the Supreme Court heard involving the website builder, Lori Smith. And they said that this had to do with, again, going back to bake the cake, the phrase that first originated when people started going after Jack Phillips. A huge win for... Honestly, free association and First Amendment. And then you had the case of affirmative action. I was amazed to see all these people on the left just say what we all thought about them for so long. How do you, there were actual verified accounts and not just like bots, but actual journalists who were out there saying things like, well, how do you expect minorities to do well if they're not going to, you know, if you don't have affirmative action for admissions? Like, say, I mean, you're literally saying that you don't believe that minorities can perform up to the same level as everybody. I mean, who's the racist here? Some of the arguments that people put out were shameful. And then the student loan case, which you knew was going to go the way that it did. And I'm glad that it did, in fact. There was one Democrat who got into a lot of, she got a lot of heat on social media. She's a former New York State Senator, and she was going on and on online saying that she has this $206,000 student debt and she was raging. She said, in 2012, I graduated from Fordham Law School with $180,000 in student loan debt. I've been paying loans for 11 years, and my balance is $206,000. Well, she just bought a home in Bedford for, you know, almost $1.2 million. And she's complaining about her student loans. But yet she literally is part of the party that voted to nationalize student loans. That's what they did under Barack Obama, which drove up the price and turned it into even this more expensive boondoggle that we have today. None of this makes any sense. It makes zero sense. The idea that you can saddle other people with your debt, though, this also gets into, I hope that this sets some kind of precedence for going after the manner in which they consolidated control of this. I mean, you have all of these universities with these billion-dollar endowments, and they're charging six figures for the dumbest stuff. Well, how much did Elizabeth Warren charge when she, remember, she taught one course, a semester, one course a semester. Didn't she, wasn't it like $200,000 that she charged, or that she was paid for the one class that she taught? Oh my gosh. Oh, I was really under, really, $400,000. She taught one class and received a $400,000 paycheck. Wow, I wonder why college is so expensive. Oh my. So Ben and Jerry's, the ice cream people, they're in some trouble that they made for themselves, as per usual. I don't know if you've seen, during, you know, Independence Day, a day when we celebrate the rejection of loyalty to a monarch or politician, they put out a message calling for stolen indigenous land to be returned to American Indians. They did not share a patriotic message at all. In fact, what they had tweeted out, this is so insane, that, you know, you're doing this on Independence Day. But they had tweeted out the argument about the Black Hills. They had this graphic saying the United States was founded on stolen indigenous land. This 4th of July, let's commit to returning it. And they said, it's time we recognize that the U.S. exists on stolen indigenous land. Learn more and take action. So I called them walking mental abortions. And I said, why not mention that Lakota took the Black Hills from Cheyenne? Or any of the other areas in contention, how American Indian nations and different tribes warred throughout the course of history, conquering each other, appropriating land from each other, etc., etc. But these, of course, are a bunch of snotty, bigoted, East Coast, self-appointed elitists who have zero clue about American Indian history. They just think that every indigenous nation is the same. All brown people. That's what they think. You got Ben and Jerry sitting up there. Where are they? Like in Vermont or something? They're like up in the Northeast somewhere. Yeah. You stole the land from these brown people. Well, wait a minute. And everyone always talks about Mount Rushmore, Black Hills. Okay, so who did Lakota take it from? Lakota Sioux. Who did they take it from? Oh, Cheyenne. Who did they take it from? Who did they take it from? This goes on and on back since the beginning of time. Jiminy Christmas. It's so annoying. I'm so tired of people saying this stupid stuff. So now people are threatening to boycott them. I don't eat their ice cream anyway because I think it tastes like a double snakes. It's horrible. It tastes like garbage. It is crap ice cream. If you hate ice cream and you really hate yourself and you want to torture yourself, then have some Ben and Jerry's, right? And they have all these like goofy flavors and all this stuff. And I don't eat it. I don't eat that ice cream. Do you eat? I don't even know if I've ever had, I think I've had Ben and Jerry's one time. And I was like, this is, ugh.
Yeah, but I want to overpay for ice cream.
When you want to overpay for garbage?
Right, for garbage ice cream. Yeah, that's what I do.
I mean, if they want to go ahead and tank their brand, I mean, that's okay. But yeah, the guy who tweeted it out, CEO Dave Stever. Well, the United States took this land from brown people, said a super, super commie white guy from the Northeast who has literally not a inkling about American Indian history at all whatsoever. No clue. I mean, it's just, it's kind of embarrassing. I mean, you realize that different nations fought with each other and took land from each other, et cetera, but no, they just think all brown people in the United States look the same, so they have no idea about any kind of history of that to that extent. They don't know. Now, speaking of some of this stuff, I had this, there's this one headline that I saw whilst traveling, because Bud Light, I guess, turned on Dylan Mulvaney, and Dylan Mulvaney was mad because Bud Light, I don't know, whatever. It's a guy pretending to be a chick drinking, can I say I didn't on air, I just muted myself. Well, but it's a guy pretending to be a chick who is drinking, pretending to be beer. And it is what it is, and I'm right, and you know I'm right. So Bud Light, they decided to come, I didn't see the ad live, I just saw it online. They have been branded as desperate. They released a new ad showing men aggressively grunting. It stars Kansas City Chiefs Travis Kelce. He was having some cold ones with some other dudes. And basically they're all like, it's like the dad grunt. It's called Backyard Grunts. That's the ad. And, you know, you sit in a lawn chair, you grunt while laying in the hammock. And that's all it is. It's. I think it would have been funny without all of the other stuff that they did. Maybe. I don't get it, though.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so I was thinking about saying, well, who hasn't made, which of us hasn't made this mistake? But no, none of us have. This from News 13, Channel 13, WBTW. A Florida man mistakes bird poop on his car for white paint and calls deputies to report a crime. WFLA says a Polk County man mistook some bird duty on his car for white paint, thought he had been targeted, and called deputies to report the crime. This all according to Polk County Sheriff's Office. A Winter Haven man called them Thursday morning. He said someone had covered his black Jeep Cherokee with white paint. When deputies arrived, they immediately saw what the issue was, that it was bird droppings, avian, not paint. And he was told that no one targeted him. They even cleaned his car. How nice is that? They cleaned his car. I don't know. Also, a Florida man is accused of stealing 69 birds, more than $10,000. Lake Worth Beach. South Florida man accused of took them from their cages during a burglary. Damian Romalo was arrested, charged with armed burglary, grand theft, petty theft, according to Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. He's accused of robbing a home in Lake Worth. According to the Sheriff's Office, he stole 30 adult and baby cockatoos, 4 parakeets, 15 canaries, and 20 pigeons. How? Like, did you shove them in your coat? I mean, how did this? So they did actually apprehend him. He remains in Palm Beach County Jail. Third hour on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Trump appointed judge, but this judge was confirmed 98-0 by the Senate. Just reading the words in this injunction, a, quote, massive effort by the defendants to suppress speech based on content. Those are the judge's words, calling the present case, quote, arguably involves the most massive attack against free speech in the United States history, Ellie.
Yeah. It's a dramatic decision by this judge. If you read through it, he's citing to literature and George Washington and Ben Franklin. Here's what really is astonishing to me. This is a conservative ideology that clearly comes through in this decision. It's a conservative political ideology, right? We saw some of the quotes questioning vaccines, questioning masks, conservative talking points. But the ruling itself is the opposite of judicial conservatism. This is one of the most aggressive, far-reaching rulings you'll ever see. What this judge is purporting to do is to micromanage, really, the day-to-day interactions between essentially the entire executive branch, all these agencies that are listed as defendants, and the leading social media companies. And in the actual temporary injunction, the judge basically says, you're not allowed, administration, to talk to these social media companies about any protected free speech except for cybersecurity threats, national security threats, criminal threats. But where's the line? Who's going to
police? Oh my gosh, they're apoplectic over that decision that came down over Independence Day. A big win for free speech. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour. I'm your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here back from vacation. And we've had a very jam-packed previous couple of hours. So it's good to be with you. Listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast as well. Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, all of that good stuff. So this has to do with this judge that issued an injunction against speech suppression. I mean, go back to the ministry, what they call the Ministry of Truth, the Disinformation Board. Go back to all of these stories about the government pressuring social media to clamp down on what they considered to be disinformation. The problem with that is that anything that they disliked, regardless of whether or not it had any basis in truth, in science, or anything else, anything, if it at all challenged the narrative that Democrats wanted to install, then it was considered disinformation. And then they wanted it struck from social media. And a lot of these companies, as we found out, were, none too happy to work with them. So they were more than happy to bend over backwards and work and accommodate them. Well, now it's not the case anymore. So you had this federal judge, Terry Doughty, in West District of Louisiana. He issued an injunction. This was over 4th of July, Independence Day, that took aim at this government-pushed or government-induced censorship in social media companies. And they said that, you know, apparently, the plaintiffs did a good job arguing this. They said that court doc, but they said that they had ordered the administration, executive agencies to stop the coordination, writing, quote, "The plaintiffs are likely to succeed on the merits in establishing that the government has used its power to silence the opposition. Opposition to COVID-19 vaccines, opposition to the masking and lockdowns, opposition to the lab leak theory of COVID-19, opposition to the validity of the 2020 election, opposition to President Biden's policies, statements that the Hunter Biden laptop story were true, opposition to policy, et cetera, et cetera." It goes on and on. It says the United States government seems to have assumed a role similar to an Orwellian Ministry of Truth. And they added, quote, "The plaintiffs," and by they, I mean just the document, the injunction, quote, "The plaintiffs have presented substantial evidence in support of their claims that they were victims of a far-reaching and widespread censorship campaign. The court finds that they were likely to succeed on the merits of their First Amendment free speech claim against the defendants. Therefore, a preliminary injunction should issue immediately." And it prohibits all, and this is the Missouri Attorney General, Andrew Bailey, who said that it prohibits nearly all of the federal government, including DHS, DOJ, HHS, from coercing or colluding with social media companies to censor free speech, amongst other things, adding that there's basically all the stuff that they have been doing, they can't do anymore. I mean, they're not allowed to, no emailing, sending letters, et cetera, none of this anymore. And key officials within the White House, CDC, FBI, State Department, all these other agencies are also blocked from participating in the censorship enterprise. Now, you have CNN, MSNBC, Washington Post, a whole bunch of left-leaning entities that are livid because they say, oh my gosh, this is going to put an end to this long curated relationship between government and tech companies, which, yeah, I hope it does. I hope it does. The Washington Post says that the judge has yet to make a final ruling in the case, but, you know, with the injunctions, at least, that the AG's produced a lot of evidence. And, you know, they made it very clear, but they said that they're worried about the way that they present it is that it's a relationship, like it's supposed to be some kind of healthy relationship between. Has it been operating that way? No, it hasn't. We've seen it. The government has absolute no position involving itself in the private affairs of businesses or the private conversations of people. I mean, we literally fought a war over this, guys. We celebrated it yesterday. I mean, it's insane that it has to be even explained in so such a provincial manner. Good heavens. But they, I guess the question is, can it be enforced? I mean, can you enforce it? I'm curious. There was a piece over at Powerline that I was reading. If you're unfamiliar with Powerline, this is the website that way back when, they were the ones who found out all this. They swift boated Dan Rather. They were the ones who found all those documents, the Dan Rather swift boat story. That's how Powerline came to be widely known. Now the judge, and this was one of the things that they noted in one of their pieces on it, but that they get into whether, you know, the enforcement of this, it's a huge case, noting that plaintiffs included Missouri, Louisiana, several individuals. And there, I mean, there was enough there for them to, you know, obviously, clearly, they established this. But they also said that, too, you know, it's pretty, I mean, this is pretty direct. I mean, everything that was cited, all, most of the censorship that was noted related to the pandemic, they did also touch on global warming. Because you had Biden officials who had apparently repeatedly threatened legal action of all kinds against all of these tech companies if they did not censor voices on, like, for instance, global warming. And they had examples, names, everything, and all of this. Now, they also touched on the laptop, etc. There was a lot in the memorandum from this judge. But where does the case go from here? Because I would imagine that, as Powerline does, that they're going to appeal. So that's and then that would be the Fifth Circuit. And then from there, after Fifth Circuit, it would go to Supreme Court. So I think that to me, it seems, I mean, to all of us, I don't know how this isn't an open and shut case. You had Jen Psaki, when she was the press secretary, standing there on the, you know, the podium lecturing tech companies and explaining how they were working together to try to squelch what they were referring to as disinformation. And of course, they were classifying everything from the effects of ivermectin on symptoms of the virus to natural immunity. That was all being classified as disinformation. So I can't imagine, I mean, if this were to go to the Supreme Court, I mean, I think, you know, I'm pretty sure that we can all anticipate what that outcome would be. But, you know, as always, the strength of the case and the determination of the case is going to depend upon, you know, you have to obviously show government coercion. This judge seems to think that there was quite enough there to satisfy an injunction. So, but I mean, it was a great victory for free speech, an absolute great victory for free speech. Now, a couple of other things. Speaking of speech, all kinds. So we have, let me pull this up. I saw this from CNBC. Here's the headline. Resumes that include they, them pronouns are more likely to be overlooked, according to a new report. Yeah, because how many people is the resume for? If it's they, them. They go on this report that they say that they got from business.com. And they are lamenting over what they say is a lack of inclusivity. And that how it should be present in the workplace. And unfortunately, they say non-binary job seekers are facing clear biases during their job search. No, I think that it just shows that people don't want to hire someone who wants to cosplay about their who they are and force other people into adopting that self-perception and also use just grammatically incorrect words in a resume for the love. I would think so. It also seems kind of like they created this study so they could bitch about it. Doesn't it? As keynotes, they don't want anyone who's going to bitch and moan about being quote unquote misgendered, which I don't even know how that works, how someone is misgendered, but okay. Good heavens. But That's I thought that was interesting. It does seem like they created this just so that they could complain about it. Oh, look, these people can hire who they want to hire. Don't sit here and try to use it as another argument to justify government involvement in the hiring practices of businesses, especially when you can't find your cocaine culprit. And that brings us to this Politico piece. We were just talking about this, and we were saying that they're never going to find this is going to go away by week's end. They're going to have this buried, and like clockwork. White House cocaine culprit unlikely to be found, according to law enforcement officials. Mm-hmm. So Politico says, asked what the chances are of finding the culprit, the official said, it's going to be difficult for us to do because of where it was. What? How is that even remotely possible to not know who it would be? It's one of the most secure buildings in the room. Or in the world, one of the most secure buildings in the world. How in the world would you not know who it possibly could be? So Politico says, yes, it's unlikely that they're ever going to be found. And again, it was found. They said there was, let me pull this piece up because I just saw this updated. Someone said it was like in a cubby. Is that right? It was like in a cubby somewhere. It still means that it's only a place where White House staffers or special guests are. How would you define Hunter Biden, Kane?
Well, special definitely comes to mind. Mm. Maybe special guest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm... Yeah. It's because it's him.
I'm sure they'd look like... If this was really a forensic-type investigation, wouldn't they take fingerprints?
Oh, yeah.
Because the baggie clearly had to have some fingerprints on it.
You think?
Yeah.
The fact that they're saying that, they're never going to be found, it means it's Hunter.
They're not trying to find it.
Yeah, they don't want to find it. They're not trying to find it. It's Hunter. And as Kane noted, good thing it wasn't an explosive or anything, right? I mean, maybe they should invest in 24/7 camera. Oh, wait. It's because it's Hunter. They don't want to find the person. They don't want to find this person. We have headlines on the way, and even more, we got a whole bunch of stuff. 2024, Biden energy. Yeah. And has tipping madness reached a tipping point? A new conversation, especially after a video emerges of a food delivery driver yelling at this veteran who's apparently a disabled veteran. The veteran tipped $20, but it was on an order of like $25 or sorry, tipped 20%, and it was on an order of like $25, and the driver was mad that it was a 20% tip. I guess they wanted more. We're going to talk about it because I've got some issues. I've got some things.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Did you really need this morning, though? The United States is warning Americans against traveling to China because of the risk of being wrongfully detained and arbitrary exit bans. It comes after a 78-year-old citizen was sentenced to life in prison on charges of spying just past May. Yeah, why would you go there? You need some bat? I mean, just saying right now. Good heavens. Why would you go there? I mean, the communism, the suffering of the people. Like, why do you even need a warning against it? Bill de Blasio and his wife, Shirlene McCray-Cray, have announced that McCray have announced that they are separating, but they're not planning to divorce. So she says she's a lesbian. He says he's ready to mingle and he's dyeing his hair and everyone else is cringing. So, you know, that's news you needed to know today. This was from the Telegraph in Britain. Schoolgirls have been sexually assaulted in gender-neutral toilets. Their Department of Education, it's kind of a repeat of what was happening in Virginia. A boy who identified as a girl in the bathrooms, now they're dealing with it as well. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
It's time for people who are running for office to swear off NRA money, to swear off gun lobby money, to swear off this absurd interpretation of the Second Amendment that has been put out there by militias, much of it untrue. And frankly, it's time for the Supreme Court to cut it out. This should not be a country of guns. It should be a country of people, living people.
This was the Philly DA who is mad over the people who were shot in, what, Philly over the weekend? And it wasn't it a, from what I understand, the individual was identified as, like, what, a BLM transgender identifying person?
Yep, another one.
You know, just like your total, sounds like your total Second Amendment practitioner lobbyist, right? I mean, total mega MAGA right there. Jeez, shut up. What is this guy even talking about? The whole militia is it would have a define. First off, I hope that everyone had a wonderful time celebrating Independence Day yesterday, a day that was brought to you by citizens possessing weapons of war. That's number one. Number two, this, none of what he said there has any play into what unfolded in his city, which sounded even still like drug and gang violence. Sad. You can't sit here and attribute everything that you don't like to the quote unquote gun lobby. What is even that? I mean, I still would love to know how it's always defined differently by various people. And didn't the president speak about this yesterday as well? He had a little remarks about Second Amendment stuff and what is it? The pistol braces. What was a stupid audio soundbite two? Listen to this. Good grief.
Made it harder for people to buy stabilized braces. Put a pistol on a brace, it turns into a gun. Makes it more, you can have a higher caliber weapon, a higher caliber bullet.
Not even how they work at all whatsoever. He keeps saying this. It's a stabilizer brace, really a pistol brace. It was invented for disabled veterans. It doesn't turn inanimate objects into guns, number one. I mean, he is as unclear as a football bat. Oh, my gosh.
And as useful.
And as useful as one, for sure. That's not what any of not what any of these things are. Now, speaking of Biden, they're already, we came out and told you, Politico, just literally almost an hour ago, came out with their story. Saying that, well, you know, we're never going to find out who actually had the cocaine in the White House. And CNN is downplaying it. Listen to this. This was just this afternoon. They were downplaying all of it, saying, oh, you can't just have some fun. Listen to this. This is crazy.
Now these more conclusive lab tests. Yeah.
I would like to know blow by blow who was responsible for this.
Too soon.
There is no too soon. No one was injured as far as we know. And it's an illicit drug at the White House. Why can't you actually have a bit of fun with it?
I don't believe in fun.
No, he doesn't. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone.
I don't believe in doing cocaine for... That was, I mean, no, he doesn't. Like, it's so bad. I can't believe you don't like cocaine for fun. Yeah, blow-by-blow account. That's right. They just think they... Can you, again, let's play the game of, can you imagine if it was a Republican president? Can one imagine what it would be like? Yeah, this story's already done. They've already given the signal that the story's done. They're not gonna look at it anymore. They already know who did it. That's why they're gonna pretend that they don't know who did it. Just like they're gonna pretend that it wasn't Ashley Biden's diary when it was Ashley Biden's diary. Or they have no idea about the Hunter Biden laptop when they have every idea about the Hunter Biden laptop. It's all so ridiculous. Stop. Stop it. Good grief. Now, I was talking about this over the weekend, as it relates to the trans activists and education, etc. And I made the mention that it's interesting to watch the left try to field responses to parental activism in states like Michigan. Now, in Michigan, as we've seen in a number of different school board hearings, etc., you've had parents that come together and they've, from different backgrounds, Christian and Islamic, I think that's been the majority, speaking out against some of the stuff that they've been seeing in their public schools. And the left has not had any way to respond to that. So now they're trying to give it their first effort because they have no idea how to counter Muslim parents who don't want their children reading pornographic materials in elementary school, the left has had no way to respond to that. I mean, how are they going to do it? If they attack and try to criticize Muslim parents, then by their own definition, aren't they being racists? So this was to that effect, and this is what we're leading up to. Jen Psaki and her, what is this, MSNBC? Yeah, her little MSNBC show. So she made mention of this and was trying to figure out a way to kind of push back against what is a growing segment of the population that is being, that has been very, very effective in pushing back against trans activism. But listen to how she does it. Check this out.
So lately, I've been noticing the reemergence of a very old GOP playbook that harkens back to President Richard Nixon's infamous Southern strategy. During his campaign for president in 1968, the Republican Party made a concerted effort to reach white Southerners who used to vote for Democrats by playing to their fears of African Americans and the civil rights movement. And it worked. By pitting one group of Americans against another, the GOP successfully managed to split off Southern whites from the Democratic Party. Now, decades later, the right wing is reviving that same playbook, this time with Muslim Americans and trans people.
Wow. I mean, I thought the Southern strategy had to do with Strom Thurmond and Lyndon Johnson promising Northern Democrats that they could get filibusters, that they could get past all of this stuff if they could water things down. I thought, you know, and remember, you had Nancy Pelosi who was trying to observe the Civil Rights Act when it was her party that actually set the record for filibustering it. So if you want to have a discussion about what the quote-unquote Southern strategy was, LBJ and Strom Thurmond, that's where you would look. But to that point, she's trying to argue that, well, Muslim parents are agreeing with Republican parents, therefore Muslim parents must be stupid and they're doing Republicans' bidding. That's what she's saying.
My first question is, at what point have Muslims all, you know, were tolerant? How have they been tolerant in the past of this stuff? Have they ever shown any tolerance of this stuff ever in the past? Even when they weren't with the GOP? Never have they ever been for this. They've always been against it. It wasn't Republicans that turned Muslims into these people. They don't want it.
I mean, can they point to, as Kane says, can they point to any example of Muslims ever, yeah, let's have drag queen story hour. Yeah. Or let's, no. I mean, you know.
It's not a GOP playbook.
But I will give her this. She's at least astute enough to recognize that that's a problem for the left. Yeah. It's a clumsy way. She can recognize it, but she's not a master strategist in responding to it because it's a very clumsy response. Oh, well, it's probably because they're being used. No, that's not. It's you have a problem on your hands. This is the problem that they had on their hands back with Prop 8 and same-sex marriage in California, because it was predominantly Hispanic and Black communities that actually opposed it. But the left couldn't go after Black and Hispanic communities, so they decided to go after the Mormons, which actually didn't oppose it at the same level that the Black and Hispanic communities opposed it. That's a little secret that no one ever actually allowed everybody else to be in on. So they decided to make the Mormons their scapegoat because they knew that they would be violating their own creed by criticizing Hispanic or Black families for opposing it. Then they, by their own definition, would be considered racist, because we all know that racism is when you disagree with a progressive, regardless of their skin color, right? That's the rule. So just like if you disagree with me, you're anti-woman. See, it's the same thing. But that is not, I mean, she skips over. She tries to rush to this Nixon era. I mean, that the affirmative action and all of this stuff was like already started like bubbling up. I mean, this idea and the whole Southern strategy thing, it was what, like some kind of leftist that popularized that back in the day. They try to act like, oh, Democrats, they were so self-sacrificial and they supported civil rights, etc. Actually, they literally set the record filibustering against it. I got in an argument with my history teacher when I was in high school over this, because they did. Democrats absolutely did set the record for filibustering it. So this idea, it's a myth. This whole thing of Southern strategy is a myth. It's an absolute myth. I mean, you had a lot of people from the North that went to the South and took advantage of a fire sale, you could say. And that's ultimately how that ended up being reshaped. But It is not. Oh my gosh, it's just so ridiculous. I mean, they're struggling to try to deal with that problem in Michigan. And it's a problem in Michigan because Michigan has been considered such a safe state for Democrats. I mean, hell, that's why Pete Buttigieg has been wanting to relocate there so he could run. True, because he's not ever going to get reelected. He's not ever going to get elected to anything in Indiana. The only place that he could, his career, he already peaked. He already peaked. That's all that was. It's so goofy. That was a very, but at least, like I said, at least she's astute enough to recognize that, ew, this is a problem for the left, and they have no way of actually, they really don't have any kind of way to counter it or deal with it. All right, so tipping madness, really quickly. Can we talk about this? Because I saw this story, pull this up. A couple of different things here. So first off, a DoorDash customer cussed at a driver. The driver gave them, I meant a 25% tip on a $20 Pizza Hut pizza. And they caught it, their door camera, their doorbell camera caught it. And this driver was going off on this mother of two and saying that, you know, it was like a low tip, and they had it was a foul mouth response. The DoorDash employee told her to go blank herself before she left. Now, it was a $20 pizza and it was a 25% tip on it. And the driver was mad. Well, the woman that he cussed at is actually a disabled veteran. She's a disabled veteran, 38-year-old Lacey Percival. She was in a head-on collision in March with a drunk driver. Drunk driver hit her. And she was in the Army, and she has serious injuries to her spinal cord, so she cannot cook. Her husband was at work. Her husband also serves. And he was at his job, and she was home with her kids. She couldn't work, so she ordered pizza. And so she's been relying on DoorDash when her husband is, you know, doing his job on base. And she's, how insane is this? So this comes, Kane had shared this in Slack. There's an LA restaurant that's hitting diners with a 4% charge to cover its staff health insurance. And that's on top of the tip and then also a water donation. It lists it right on the receipt. It sounds like the business is being cheap and just like not, you know, and make trying to make you feel bad for it. But this has been a continuing ongoing conversation about tipping. And I do think it's getting out of control. It's getting really out of control. The way, and I say this as someone who worked in food service for literally all throughout college, I worked in food service, two jobs, and I dealt with some absolute blank holes, and I dealt with some really nice people. But I also never labored under this misconception that I was owed anything except, you know, if I had great service, then it would be nice to get an acknowledgement. But it's going above and beyond. Like there are places where it's all self-service and then it asks if you want to tip at the self-operating kiosk. Do you ever tip, Kane? I don't give a rat's ass if they look at me or not. I'm like, no.
Not at the self one.
No.
It depends. If someone's super, super friendly and it looks like they're busy behind there or whatever, I might throw a couple few bucks.
No, I want good service. I did not expect a tip when I was in food service unless I gave good service.
Yeah. No, that's true. But again, it's to each their own. I just think it's getting crazy out of hand where everything's a tip now. When you go to Starbucks, they hand you a thing. They're like, hey, well, press this number here for this tip. Press the number for this tip. It's like, you're literally handing me coffee from a window, yeah. But okay.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, we're not going to be doing all that. You also know what I hate? Can I be real honest? I hate the whole pay it forward thing. I don't go to Starbucks and go to the coffee thing, but have you seen those? Where it's like, oh, someone in front of you paid for your coffee. If you're broke, you ain't going through Starbucks to pay for that over-roasted swell, number one, okay? Number two, who does that? If you want to help someone, actually help people. Don't just pay for someone's coffee behind you. I can't stand that. I cannot stand it. It's so cringe. Stop. But the tipping thing is totally out of control. And if you do, when I do a food delivery, I always tip very well. Because if I don't tip well, people are going to talk smack. But I always tip well anyway. Because I literally came up in that industry. So I know exactly how hard. I know restaurant work is some of the hardest work out there. But it's at the same time, have you noticed they don't just give you 20% or 15% anymore? It's 19% and 23%. Isn't that weird? It's weird. It's gotten totally out of hand.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Per the entry, go to the holiday. Can you give any more details on where the Secret Service found cocaine in the West Wing and how it got there?
So, as you know, this is under the purview of the Secret Service. They are currently investigating what happened over the weekend, so I would have to refer you to the Secret Service on all of this. But one thing that I can share, that I'll share a little bit more information, as you know, the President and the First Lady and their family were not here this weekend, as you all reported on this, and as you also know that they left on Friday and returned just yesterday. Where this was discovered is a heavily traveled area where many White House, West Wing, I should be even more specific, West Wing visitors come through this particular area. I just don't have anything more to share. It is under investigation by the Secret Service. This is in their purview, and so we're going to allow certainly the investigation to continue.
So she's trying to argue that there's no way, KJP here, and this is moments ago, there's no way it could have been Hunter's because it was, you know, couldn't have dropped it Thursday. Kane, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah. And where there's coke, there's
Hunter.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Actually, that was today in stupidity. It's funny that that was what I was going to bring for today's stupidity.
Her?
Of course I don't believe her. She's changing the story from, we heard the hazmat crew talk about this being in the library. Them trying to move it to a higher trafficked area is a cover up. Yeah. And we all can see it.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. We all can see it. Folks, that does it for our first show back. It's so good to be back with you. And of course, I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. Sign up for the newsletter over at Chapter and Verse at Substack. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.